Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1204. The topic is nutrition and the title is Nutrition for Strength Athletes. Now, I wanted to cover this because I often get asked if there's like kind of I'm hee-hawing around here because I can't think of the right wording, but there's nutrition to be kind of healthy in regards to, say, like blood work. You know, you want to have good cholesterol, good blood sugar, all those things. Then there's nutrition for aesthetics, meaning you want to be, you know, super lean, have great muscle mass, you know, all that stuff. And then there's nutrition for performance, which would be related to, say, strength or athletes or anything like that. There you can do nutrition kind of focused towards different goals. There's actually not much different in the big picture of how to handle nutrition with all those goals. However, there is some specific differences as you get further along in the process. So how somebody would eat to just control blood sugar is different than how somebody would eat to be the best strength athlete. There is differences, but that's small details later in the process. Their bigger details are kind of more upfront, and that's actually what most people get wrong. So most people, what they aren't doing correctly has to do with the big, basic, boring, everyday things. So I'll have people contact me and they'll ask about, you know, say a specific supplement, or is this type of dietary fat, you know, monounsaturated any different than like polyunsaturated, or like, you know, and they'll just ask like all these crazy questions. And to some degree, are those important? Sure. But the big thing I want to get across is most people aren't doing all the things that matter before those things matter. So do they matter? Sure. But they don't matter if you don't do all of the stuff that leads up to that, if that makes sense. So if I'm looking at my car and I want to make sure all the bolts, like lug nuts or whatever, are tight on my tires, that would be great. You know, that's a good thing. But if I don't have an engine in my car, that might be a bigger issue, you know? So it's kind of like we have to pay attention to what matters most and then trickle down in the order of significance down to the things that people commonly ask about. So I'll have people ask very specific questions, you know, like, oh, should I have a casein protein powder or a whey protein powder? And I'm like, well, what are your daily calories? Crickets. I'm like, well, what's your total protein every day? Crickets. You know? And it's like, oh no. So the things that matter the most are going to get you the most in regards to return for effort invested. So it is important to look at this, you know, so that way you make sure you have your basics right. So then all the small things you're doing that are probably really expensive, like, you know, fine-tuned supplements and odds and ends, you know, like certain buying a certain type of meat over another type of meat, which is maybe twice as expensive. That way that money is actually worth it. The effort's actually worth it. The stuff I want to cover today, these are things I use with my strength athletes, and they're commonly as far as we need to go in regards to, we don't have to get any deeper detail than this. I've helped people get elite totals in powerlifting, tons of state and like records and stuff like that. I've helped people win strongman competitions, Highland game competitions, which is kind of a cool sport. Just a lot of odds and ends. I've done a lot of stuff with strength athletes, and it's been a lot of fun over the years. So I wanted to focus specifically on strength athletes, so that way it would get your attention. If you're a strength athlete, you would know this is for you. But then also just kind of cover like what helps somebody be from beginner to intermediate to, and then from intermediate to advanced. It's actually kind of all the same. Like it's the same boring basic stuff. They just get more consistent with it. So I've helped get people get pro cards in aesthetic sports, you know, drug tested and non-tested. And what really makes you a professional is just the boring crap that you do every day that most people have excuses for and they don't do consistently. Same thing is for strength athletes. I've helped like online clients go from their first powerlifting meet ever to elite totals, all online coaching. And what it takes is just the stupid, boring basics done every damn day. It's not this glamorous, amazing process. It's boredom. Now, hopefully you like something about the process. So I love to train. I don't really care about food. I'm lucky in the sense that I don't really have an emotional attachment to food. Now, I have been through some journeys with food. I was anorexic for 2.5 years and have had a lot of kind of ups and downs and odds and ends and stuff. But in the grand scheme of things, if I want to make a goal and food is involved, I'll do pretty well with that goal. So one time when trying to gain weight, I decided to drink a gallon of milk a day, and I did it for 2 years, every single day for 2 years. I did another experiment I'll talk about here in a little bit further detail, where I ate a diet at 40% protein because I wanted to see if high protein would help build more muscle and keep me lean. It did not, by the way. That was a horrible diet. So I'll explain that in a second. But I've done a lot of nutritional experiments, so I do know how to help people with nutrition. I've actually counseled people through anorexia, bulimia, and other eating disorders and things like that. So it's been very successful, and I've had a lot of fun doing it. I love doing that stuff. But what I'm trying to get to, that I'm taking way too long to get to, is at any level, however successful you want to be, these boring, basic things are extremely, extremely important. You cannot be your best if you don't have these things in place first. And getting these things in place first will probably take all of your effort that you want to give, and it's actually enough. It's enough to get elite totals, to win competitions, to be a freaking badass. So let's get into this. I have 5 things. We're going to look at the order of importance, and then these are just kind of the top 5 things. And I think if you focus on these, you really will not have to focus on anything else. Number 1 is total calories. If you do not have your calories in place, you will have insufficient energy for performance and recovery. Total calories. It's gasoline in a gas tank. You cannot drive a car if you don't have gasoline in there, right? So you can have a Ferrari or whatever. I don't know what the hell like the most fancy amazing car is, but you can have the most fancy amazing car. But if you don't put any gasoline in it or any fuel in it, it can't do anything, right? If you put some fuel in it, you can drive down your driveway and then it sputters out and it fails, right? Maybe you put a little more gas in, you can get to the end of city limits, but then it sputters out and it fails. That's the thing, is our body will, thank God, still move even if we don't feed it, but it won't move well. So if you're going in to lift every single week, like heavy squats, heavy deadlifts, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't feel like everything feels like a million pounds. I feel sluggish, tired. I'm not progressing. I'm just not moving forward. I'm coming into the gym. I'm kicking my ass. I'm doing what's in my program, but man, it's just not working. Calories 100% will impact that. So if you are not tracking your calories to some degree, even having some awareness of where they are, you absolutely will not be your best. It does not matter what you eat if you don't eat enough. So you can eat organic everything, whatever the hell the most, you know, recent craze is for everything. But if you don't eat enough of it, it won't matter. Calories is absolutely 100% the most important thing that you need to control. Can you do MyFitnessPal and other food apps and track that every day? Hell yes, you can, and I would suggest you do that. If you're like, well, I don't want to do apps all the time. Well, do you want to be your best or not? Okay. Can there be a middle ground? Sure. You know, track what your habits are for 2-3 weeks. Get yourself consistent and then take a week off. You know, track for another week, then take another week or two off. You can use it once a month or maybe once every 2 months to just check in on yourself. But starting with apps is a great way to identify where you're making your mistakes. Too often people eat inconsistently, meaning they'll have a lot of food on one day, then not a lot the next day. Or they'll have, you know, a big breakfast, but then they go all damn day without eating. Or they eat, you know, something big during the day, but then they get busy and they skip their evening meals. And they shove something quick and easy in their face before they go to bed. People are just inconsistent. That's human nature. So you have to track yourself and to help hold yourself accountability, hold yourself accountable to eat when you're supposed to eat and eat not when you're supposed to not eat. You know, you have to create consistency whenever your general nature is to not be consistent. And that stems from life. Life is not consistent. You know, we have a plan for what we want to do every day, but sometimes life gets in the way of that and it doesn't work. We just don't feel like it. Sometimes we're tired. There's a lot of deviations in how we feel and what our schedule is. So by tracking what you do, it helps you normalize that, become more consistent with it, learn how to adapt when life, you know, throws your curveball. And then once you feel like you have it, you can back off. Okay? So I'm going to give you some basic stuff just to get you going. Where should your calories be if you're a strength athlete? What is your target weight / relatively lean muscle mass? Kind of what would be you if you looked good? That sounds so mean. But let's say you're 300 pounds, but there's, you know, some belly rolls and some fat around us. I don't need to account for 300 pounds of weight when I'm talking about calories, because a lot of that is just body fat that doesn't need to be fed. If that makes sense. So if I'm, you know, say 280, but I'm probably, if I was leaner and I had kind of like, you know, good visible abs, maybe I'd be, you know, 240. So I'm going to eat at 240. Maybe you're 200, but you know, okay, I'd probably actually feel comfortable around 175. Well, then eat at 175. So what is your target weight / lean mass? Take that times 13 to 15. That's going to be a range, because you're not going to eat perfect to every, you know, singular calorie every single day. So that's a good range. And then you're just going to see how you feel and see how your body fat kind of feels. So if you eat within that range and you're like, damn, I'm pretty hungry, eat a little more. Okay. If you eat within that range and you find like, oh crap, I can't even get to that range. Like, I'm struggling to get there, but I've also been struggling in my workouts. I also have been plateaued in my strength. Then you need to push yourself to get up to that range. See how your body feels there for a week or even 2 weeks. I would highly suggest waiting for 2 weeks, because initially, if somebody's trying to push their calories up, if their calories have been previously down, your metabolism, how many calories your body is conditioned to burn every day, is downgraded currently. As you give your body more calories, it will catch up, but it's a little bit of a delayed effect. So while it's catching up, you may feel kind of watery. You may feel like a little bit of extra kind of fluff. But then within like 5 to 7 days, that hardens back up. By the end of the second week, you feel much leaner, much better. So I would suggest giving it 2 weeks if you feel like you have to force feed yourself to get there. Try it for 2 weeks. Okay. If you eat there and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm actually really freaking hungry and I'm okay with my body fat, I don't want to get any leaner, then go ahead and eat more. I'm just throwing this out there as somewhere to start. So see how you feel, see what your body does, and kind of adjust if you need to, okay? Now, where should those calories come from? In general, you should pick healthy foods, whole foods, things found in nature. So Oreos don't grow on plants, so don't eat an Oreo, you know, that kind of thing. You know, does it grow in a plant? Does it grow out of the ground? Does it grow in a tree? You know, does it, is an animal, you know, is there relatively natural things is what you should mostly eat. You really should have no restrictions whatsoever, though, until you are consistent with meeting your calorie needs. So if you're struggling to eat enough and you have all these super restrictions on your food, let go of all of those. Eat Snicker bars, eat ice cream, eat pizza, whatever you got to do to get your calories up, and then start to refine, okay? Reduce sugars outside of training times. Just pick more natural whole foods once your calories are being met. How much of that is total calories should be protein? I'm going to answer that actually in the next section. How much should be carbs and fats? Again, we're going to kind of answer that in the next section. So that answer will come up. But in general, what we're looking for protein, which is point number two. So once you have total calories accounted for, you should then account for protein. Protein should be 1 gram per pound of what your target kind of lean mass is. So if you're doing your calorie calculation, you know, your target weight lean mass times 13 to 15, say you're taking 200 pounds and doing that calculation, then you should eat 200 grams of protein. If you're doing it with 150, 150 grams of protein, 250, 250 grams of protein, okay? So however, whatever your target weight is, whatever your lean mass is, you should eat that many grams of protein per day. Try to have it spread out throughout the day. That would be the best. You know, try not to have it all in one meal or only in two meals. Kind of spread it out throughout the day. And what happens is people say, well, I want to build more muscle, so I'm going to eat more protein. Don't do that. As I mentioned before, I've done many diets. One of them I did was 40% of my daily intake was from protein. That sucked because it didn't give me enough carbohydrates and fats for actual energy. And because I didn't have enough sufficient energy nutrients, my body prioritized fat, body fat. So it actually made it harder for me to get leaner. Once I switched from 40% down to a third, and then I dropped to 25%, I started actually feeling more energy. I started actually getting a little bit leaner. And I found typically between 25 to 33%, roughly in there, seems to be like a pretty good amount for leanness, enough recovery, still having enough room for carbs and fats. To be honest, though, you don't even need to use percentage. Again, your total calories times 13 to 15, that's your total. And then just move that up and down from there. Your total protein should be equal to the target weight and lean mass you want to have. So whatever the difference is, let's say I'm having 200 grams of protein a day and I'm supposed to eat, I'm just going to make the math really easy for myself. This won't match up. But let's say I want to have 200 grams of protein and in my total calories is 2,000. 200 grams of protein, there's 4 calories per gram of protein, that's 800 calories. That means I have 1,200 calories left over to reach my calorie total max. So of that 1,200 calories, that should be carbs and fats. Does not matter what the percentage of which is, who gives a shit, doesn't make any difference. Just eat based on what you like and timing dependent, which I'm going to explain here in a second. But that's how we kind of figure out our, like what we should track and what we should monitor is total calories is your lean mass times 13 to 15. Eat a little more if you're a little hungry. Eat a little less if you need to lose body fat. There's a little bit of adjustments from there. But in general, that's where you should be with calories. Protein is your lean mass. Is that many grams of protein? Done. That's it. Don't do any more math. Don't make it any more complicated. That is it. That's all you have to do. So I've had people tell me before, like, well, I'm doing 30, you know, a third fat, a third carb, and a third protein. You don't need to do that. Like, it's just unnecessary to specify how many grams of fats versus carbs, because sometimes people don't run well off carbs. Sometimes people don't run well off fats. Like, I've done high fat diets and I feel like crap. I move better. I feel better off of mostly carbohydrates and proteins. I look much better. I'm much bigger, much leaner by eating and focusing more on carbohydrates and proteins. But I've had other clients where we've done aesthetic competitions and they did high fat diets and they were peeled and they looked great. But I've also had people who had really high carb diets and they were peeled and they looked great. So in regards to kind of like body fat, you know, kind of control, it makes absolutely no difference whether you have carbs or fats as your extra calories there. That's the difference between the total protein calories and the total calories. But that's what we want to do, okay? Those are the first two steps. Track and maintain consistent daily calories. Track and maintain consistent daily protein. If most people do that, they're going to feel amazing. Most people don't even do those two things. So the next step then would be meal / nutrient timing. Paying attention to pre-workout foods, eating before bed, and upon waking. The idea is you want to reduce deficits. As a strength athlete, you want to be always providing your body what it needs to continually make adaptations to your training. You don't want it to make adaptations for, you know, 5 or 6 hours of the day, but then be underfed for 5 or 6 hours and you missed 5 to 6 hours of possibly being better, possibly making more adaptations. So you want to reduce deficits. You want to get rid of large times where you're unfed. So that means you want to eat super early. As soon as you wake up, start eating food. And then eat really close to bed. Now, when you eat close to bed, be really low in carbohydrates. That'll help sleep quality. Really low in carbohydrates. And you can salt your food so you don't have to get up in the middle of the night and pee 17 times. Okay? Now, if you have high blood pressure, not everyone who has high blood pressure is salt sensitive. However, if you do have high blood pressure, that is something to be mindful of. So if you have a salt sensitivity, get rid of that suggestion. But if you don't have any salt sensitivities, it does help you then not have to pee. So that's nice. So eat early and eat late. So eat really close to bed. So that way, if you sleep 6 to 8 hours, you're not spending 6 to 8 hours without any food in your system whatsoever. You want to have your body be fed and be able to do what it needs to do. Now, in regards to pre-workout timing, you want to eat carbohydrates as your main fuel source for workouts. Fats take really long to digest. They're slow. You're not going to get great energy spikes out of them. You're just not going to feel good. Okay, so you want to focus on carbohydrates. Now, what carbohydrates you eat do depend on how far away from the workout you're eating. So if I'm eating less than 10 minutes before the workout, I want liquid sugars. like sports drinks, fruit juices, iced tea, things like that. If I'm eating roughly 10 to 20 minutes before the workout, I can do liquids or maybe even some solid kind of sugars, which would be like candy and fruit and things. Be careful of fructose. Some people have digestion issues with fructose, which is the sugar found in fruit. So just be mindful of that. If you do find like, okay, if I eat fruit before I try to work out, then I have, you know, diarrhea or bathroom issues, that can be the fruit being the problem. If you're eating roughly like 20 to 90 minutes before the workout, then you can focus more on like solid food carbohydrates, but very lean, very refined carbohydrates are best. And that would be like white bread, white bagels, pasta, white potato, rice, tortilla wraps, things like that. If you're eating greater than 90 minutes before the workout, you can then focus on kind of less refined, more complex carbs. So like wheat bagel, wheat bread, wheat pasta, sweet potato, brown rice, maybe quinoa, you know, stuff like that. So that kind of gives you an idea. So that's the next step, is once somebody has their total calories and total protein covered, we then start paying attention to the timing of their food, making sure they're not having deficits throughout the day, and the timing of their pre-meal food, so that way they're properly fueled and can give their best performance during the workout. Okay. The next thing I look for is typically if they have those three things in place, and this is already excluding most people, they don't even do the first three things, is we look to reduce sugars. So if we reduce sugars outside of pre and intra workout meals, and we focus more on complex foods, it actually helps them be much leaner, and they have a much more consistent daily energy, and then their sleep quality is better, and it kind of just improves that refining of kind of how you feel during your diet, and it just kind of smoothens life a little bit for you. So that's a really good kind of fourth focus, is once I have my total calories controlled, total protein controlled, I have my meal and kind of nutrient timing kind of on point, and I'm doing really well with that, I would then look to reduce sugars outside of training time. Okay. The last one I'll cover, because a lot of people ask questions about it, is supplements. So again, if somebody has total calories controlled, total protein, their meal and nutrient timing is good, they've been working on reducing sugars, then you can look into supplements. Unfortunately, this is not a super sexy answer, because it's just the same boring basic supplements that pretty much everybody should be telling you, is just daily maintenance type of supplements, like a multivitamin and vitamin D3. Almost everyone is insufficient, like don't have enough vitamin D3, so that's a great thing to do. It helps control hormones and a bunch of other good stuff, like even mood and whatnot. So multivitamin, vitamin D3. The ones I typically recommend, not that they're amazing, just to kind of throw something out there, is from the company Now, N-O-W. Their men's multivitamin is Adam, and then the women's is Eve, Adam and Eve. So Now Adam is what I take, and Now Eve is what I tell like my mom and my wife Meredith to take, and you know, kind of my clients. Now also has vitamin D3. If you have not been taking vitamin D3 for a long time, you can take 10,000 IUs, and that'll definitely bump you back up and get you kind of into a good range. Kind of a more sustainable range is somewhere between 4,000 to 10,000 IUs. It's very rare that somebody's going to be like too high in D3, vitamin D3, but you can get blood work done if you want and get that checked and see where your vitamin D3 is at. Most health insurances will cover blood work once a year. I believe Stan Efforting, if you go to stanefforting.com, it's Stan, S-T-A-N-F, and then Efforting is E-F-F-E-R, Efforting, D-I-N-G.com. Oof. So Efforting.com. He has links for like cheap blood tests. I just listened to a podcast where he was a guest, and he talked about, I forget the exact name, I think it's like Marica or something like that, .com blood test, but it's on his website. And I think he has like a panel you can get and get blood drawn and send that panel out, and it's like $100. So pretty cool. But that's daily maintenance, multivitamin, vitamin D3. Then for joints, I prefer Animal Flex. It's an awesome supplement, really high dosed. But you do want to take a joint supplement as a strength athlete, because you're doing a lot of wear and tear in your joints. Then we look at digestive supplements, because you should be eating a lot of food. So you look at Now Super Enzymes is a great supplement. And then if you eat high fat meals, Zypan by Standard Process is a really good supplement to take for high fat meals to help break the fat down. Then others really aren't that necessary. Once you cover the above needs, the multivitamin, the vitamin D3, some kind of joint supplement, which I prefer Animal Flex, some kind of super enzyme or probiotic, and then Zypan if you want it, that's already enough money you're spending for supplements. You don't need to buy any more. And anything on top of that isn't going to probably have that significant of an amazing effect. By far, the best drugs, the best supplements in the world are just proper nutrition, sleep, and proper training, meaning you have the appropriate intensity and training volume and workload and whatnot. So those are the best supplements. There's nothing that's really going to make up for anything we've already discussed. So if you want to take creatine, but you're not doing everything we've already talked about, the creatine isn't going to have that significant of an effect. Okay? Creatine is super cheap, so it's not even that expensive. But nothing matters if you don't have your calories controlled, your protein controlled, your timing controlled, if you're not reducing sugars, if you don't already have your like multivitamin, vitamin D3, your joint supplement, your enzymes. You know, like all of these things matter way the hell more before anything else does. Okay? So to be your best, and I have trained the best. That's pretty cool to say. I'm very blessed to say that. But I've trained people who are the top in the sport. You know, they're elite totals, and they're doing amazing jobs and doing awesome things. And to be your best, it doesn't require really anything special. It doesn't require, like, a super secret thing. It just requires the basics that we've just covered. But you have to do them every damn day. Accept as few excuses as possible. Be as consistent as you can. Hold yourself accountable. It's just the boring shit every day that people don't do. They do it some days, not all the time. They do it sometimes, not all the time. That's the thing. So you have to do the boring basics every damn day. Every damn day. Okay? So make it sustainable. Make it easy for yourself. Find a way to just make it a normal habit of life. Okay? Cool. Well, I hope this helps because there's nothing sexy in this answer. There's nothing, oh, go buy this and it'll solve all your problems, because that's all bullshit. This is the truth of what it will take for you to be your best as a strength athlete. Control your calories, control your protein, control your meal nutrient timing, reduce sugars outside of training time, and take the good basic supplements. That's it. If you do that, you're going to be freaking kick-ass, you're going to be amazing, you're going to be so freaking happy with everything, okay? Cool. Well, if you want any help at all, that's this is what we do. So I do help some of my strength athletes with just nutrition coaching on its own, which is a $100 a month service. I write their nutrition plan for them. I help them monitor all this stuff. I give them all the numbers, and we talk back and forth to make sure it can be a lifestyle. The other thing we have is $200 a month, so twice the cost, but you get everything. So you get nutrition coaching, online accountability, a journal back and forth. You get the nutrition as well as the training coaching. So it's everything but the kitchen sink kind of thing. And that's what I've done to help people, like I said, take them from their first meet ever to an elite total. So those are the services we can help you with, or you can kind of run with this and do it all on your own, which I encourage you to do. In one way or another, I just hope you live your best life and hope you put this stuff to use. I hope that this was enough information to kind of convince you that this is where you should start, and I hope that you can take it and run with it. If you have any questions, just reach out. I'm always available. Cool. Well, if you like today's podcast or our podcast in general, please share it. The more people we share the podcast with, the more people can help. And that's the main goal. That's the big thing, big picture. Also, thank you to the patrons of the podcast, the people who financially support the podcast through the Podbean platform and through the podcast donation link we have on our Instagram homepage. The podcast is well over $1,000 a year, so we really appreciate the financial help. It's only thanks to these donations that we can afford to do this every single day. So thank you. Also, if you like the information we share in our podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything that you want to know, let us know at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.